Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's all presented by Hillside Medical. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. You can check us out at ChasingCheckersRadio.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts. Or, as always, go to TheGameNashville.com. Hope you're having a great start to your Saturday. Chase McCabe hanging out with you. And so much to get to on this edition of the show. Yes, they are going to be racing at the Bristol Motor Speedway later on this evening. It was a wild Xfinity race last night, a truck race on Thursday night. We'll talk about those things as the playoffs are now underway in all three series. But the big news of the week was the schedule being released. We're also going to talk to Brad Keselowski. He is going to join the show here in just a little bit as well. So, a lot to get into, but the big news of the week, the 2022 NASCAR Cup Series schedule was finally unveiled, and I've been very, very excited about this because NASCAR has shown really in the last 3 years that now finally they are willing to do something different. They're willing to change it up. They're willing to break away from some traditions. There's some traditions they shouldn't break away from, but there are some that, you know, it's time to try new things. I think it started with the 2020 schedule, which, you know, saw some different things being moved around and trying a couple of different things. Nothing too crazy. And then 2021, you had Nashville obviously coming into the fold. COTA came into the fold. Road America. You were seeing some new venues. They left some places. So I think they have shown that they're willing to try new things, and they're doing that again in 2022. Not maybe, you know, when from a new venue standpoint, maybe it's not like 2021 was, but I would say taking the Clash to the LA Memorial Coliseum was a pretty big swing. But to better explain some of the changes that you'll see, and then we'll kind of go through this schedule. And I haven't forgotten about Richmond. I know we'll get into that too as we move along here. But I did want to start with the schedule. And this is Ben Kennedy, who is NASCAR's Senior Vice President of Strategy and Innovation. And he met with the media earlier this week to explain some of the changes.
A few changes that you guys will see in the schedule. One, which has already been announced, the LA Coliseum, which we announced yesterday, last night, as a Clash, which has historically been at Daytona on the Oval, which moved to the road course this year. We'll be moving to Los Angeles, our number one market for NASCAR fans, number two market for viewership at a iconic and historic venue. You think about the number of Olympics that they've had there with two, number of Super Bowls, Rams games, Chargers games, USC Trojans have played there since 1923. They're coming up on their 100th year anniversary, and we will be the first big event that they'll have there as a part of that. So really looking forward to that, looking forward to seeing the Clash here on February 6th next year. I'm also in St. Louis today, so we had the opportunity to also announce that Worldwide Technology Raceway will be joining the 2022 Cup Series schedule on June 5th next year. And I think, again, a testament to the job that Curtis and the entire team at Worldwide Technology Raceway does out here. We've seen some great racing with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series for the past two decades. And I think the Cup Series with the next-gen cars will not disappoint. We've got a ton of great fans in the St. Louis area and really looking forward to that.
So there you go. The two biggest ones being going to the Clash at the LA Memorial Coliseum. They're going to basically make this an invitational thing, that it's going to be open to all the Cup teams, and that's how they're going to fill the field. They're going to build a temporary quarter mile race course inside the LA Coliseum. And I know a lot of people are like, what? Have they ever done anything like this before? Well, yes, they did run a race At Soldier Field back in the 50s, they did something like that, albeit a lot has changed since the 1950s. And then Bowman Gray Stadium, which is perhaps one of the most famous stadium race courses in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, it has a track inside it. It's also a football stadium. So this is not, you know, completely crazy, so to speak, but I am curious to see how they're going to pull this off because, you know, this is going to be the first race with the next-gen car, and so you don't really know what all you're going to get there. Now, I know there has been some talk. Do they just go run the current car, tear those bad boys up, and then move on? It sounds like they're going to run the next-gen car. So going to be interesting to see how that all works. And then the other new venue that they're going to be going to, and I'm excited about this, Worldwide Technology Raceway, also known as Gateway, in St. Louis. I have always liked this track, and so I think it's so cool for the St. Louis market to get a race. I mean, we obviously went through this in our market in Nashville last year, welcoming NASCAR racing to the Nashville Super Speedway. The first time the Cup Series had been here since 1984. I had the honor and privilege of being one of the track announcers alongside Joe Williams for that event. So I totally am excited for the people of St. Louis and the race fans in the Midwest and what they're going to get going to Worldwide Technology Raceway. I got to get used to not calling it Gateway. I've always called it Gateway, but Worldwide Technology Raceway, going to be getting that race. So Ben Kennedy did answer some questions from the media when talking about the schedule, and he was asked about bold decisions and what the boldest one was. The answer shouldn't surprise you.
I don't know if it took the most conversation because it was a difficult decision, but I would say the LA Coliseum, you know, I think just it's something we've never done before in our sports history. You know, we had Soldier Field back in 1956 as a stadium event, but we've never actually constructed a temporary quarter mile short track inside of a stadium before. So, you know, I think a lot of internal conversations as we think about logistics, design, development of the track, and then just what that event is truly going to be like. It's been an opportunity for us to think differently about what that event is going to look like, and a lot of good thoughts and feedback that we've received both internally and with our partners and since the announcement yesterday. So I would say that that's probably been one of the biggest ones that that we've been looking at.
I think it just shows you NASCAR's willingness to try new things. They may do this and go, this was a terrible idea. Let's forget we did it. We won't do it again. But at least they're giving it a shot. You know, it's like racing dirt on Bristol. I had no idea going into it how it was going to turn out. I thought it was pretty exciting, and they're going to try it again. And same thing could happen with this. So we shall see. Let's kind of run through it. And then a little later on, I have a very special surprise, something I've been working on for the show for several weeks. And I look forward to unveiling that. But as mentioned, February 6th, the week before the Super Bowl, they will run the Clash at the LA Memorial Coliseum. And then February 17th, they go to Daytona like normal for the duels, the Daytona 500 on February 20th, 2022. So that's where things kind of pick up, and it'll be the same. Return to Fontana the following week as NASCAR goes west, the Auto Club Speedway, and what is scheduled to be the last race on the two-mile track before they reconfigure that bad boy into a short track. Vegas, Phoenix, Atlanta, March 20th. They've moved COTA into March, which I'm going to be honest, I kind of like that. You get a road course early because they're not going to the Daytona road course this year, which bums me out. I actually like the Daytona road course. So not going to do that. So they'll go to COTA early, then Richmond on April the 3rd. The first Saturday night race of the year will be Martinsville under the lights, which so glad that they put lights up at that place. Now, talking about traditions, NASCAR has traditionally not raced on Easter Sunday. They didn't race on Mother's Day for a long time. But that, you know, those were some dates that they just stayed away from. Well, they're not going to do that in 2022. On April 17th, which is Easter, they will run the dirt at Bristol. So they are going to go back to doing that, to try the dirt again, which I'm not surprised. The weather kind of marred things last year. COVID obviously was in the way. Now, you know, hopefully things will be whatever this new normal is, but they'll be able to get a full house for the race on Easter. But I'm curious by that. Now they've run the day. They used to run out at the Nashville Super Speedway, the Busch Series, the then Busch Series, would run the day before Easter, but they never raced on Easter Sunday. So going to be curious about that. Then they go to Talladega, then Dover, then Darlington for their first race of the year, then Kansas. The All-Star race moves back into May, going back to Texas again. So they'll get another chance to do the All-Star race at Texas before the Coke 600 and its traditional Memorial Day weekend slot. June 5th, they go to Worldwide Technology Raceway for the first time, as I mentioned, and then Sonoma on June 12th. Now, the following weekend is Father's Day. That's when they raced at the Nashville Super Speedway. They won't do that this year. That will be the only off weekend for the Cup Series in 2021, right after Sonoma. And then, moving back a week, they come to the Nashville Super Speedway on June 26th. Now, I love this because that's my birthday weekend. My birthday is June 25th. So it's a perfect place to spend my birthday, because I love racing, and being at the racetrack would be the perfect spot. So there you go. July 4th weekend, they return to Road America for the second year in a row. They go to Atlanta for their second date on July 10th, then to New Hampshire. They have done away with the doubleheader at Pocono. So Pocono's race moves into July, July 24th. That's the only time that they're going to go to Pocono in 2021, which I'm going to be honest, I think is the right move. I think that's one of those places, and you're starting to see that. There are places that they feel we just need to go one time and then add some more tracks to the schedule. So Worldwide Technology Raceway will get Pocono's other date is basically how that's going to work. So then July 31st, to wrap up that month, my mom's birthday, Indianapolis, the road course again. Not really thrilled about that, but I kind of think they should be on the big track, but that's neither here nor there. We'll get into that. They start August by going to Michigan, then Richmond, Watkins Glen, and then Daytona under the lights to end the regular season. So that's how the regular season shakes out, going to the Glen, then Daytona, and then we get into the playoffs. There are a few changes with the playoffs. Not many, but a couple. Kick off with Darlington again, then Kansas, then Bristol to round out the first round. Texas, Talladega, Roval, Vegas, Homestead. Homestead had been moved to earlier in the season after they moved the championship race. They're moving it back into the playoffs, into the round of eight, then Martinsville, and then they will wrap up the championship again at Phoenix for, I guess that makes it the third year in a row that they're going to do that. I'm hopeful that the only reason they're doing that is because of COVID, and they're wanting it to get the full experience, because I was really hopeful that they were going to just rotate the championship race. That's what I would like to see happen, is them rotate the championship race. But as I mentioned, they're breaking away from some traditions, such as racing on Easter. Ben Kennedy talked about being more flexible when it comes to the Cup Series schedule.
I think it really speaks to a lot of the changes that we've made in the schedule, whether that's the new venues that we go to, some of the reconfigurations that we've seen, like the Indy Road Course or Bristol Dirt, or to your point, running on Mother's Day and running on Easter weekend. And I think it was part of us being bold and innovative in this with the schedule, but also being very measured too. You know, a lot of these decisions that we're making obviously come with a lot of consulting with our broadcast partners, getting feedback from the industry, and then doing a ton of research on our fans, our avid fans, casual fans, and new fans for what they would like to see as far as racing goes and what time of year. So that ultimately led to a decision to move Darlington to Mother's Day weekend, like we did this year in 2021, and then ultimately Bristol Dirt to Easter Sunday.
Goes back to something I've said a ton. I've said it already today. It's NASCAR willing to try new things, which was something that they weren't willing to do for a long time. They were And they're not the only league to be guilty of this. That they just got stuck and they thought, oh, it's good. Why change it? We're fine. We don't need to do anything. And they suffered for it. And now they're doing some things. They're getting new fans. I think the, you know, coming back during COVID, the weeknight races, those things. And I still would like to see them visit the weeknight races at some point in time. I know they have this is where they got to work on some things. The traditional, you know, we got to run Sunday. That's what people associate with our sport. And, you know, the old school racers, you know, fans of racing, they associate Saturday night at the short track. And so I think that's something that they definitely need to look at. There's not as many night races on this schedule, and they need to, I think, need to look at that. But that's just that's one man's opinion. Before I get to my surprise, which I've kind of let the cat out of the bag on social media and everything, you're going to get a look at my schedule for 2023. Richmond, the second race of the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. Martin Truex Jr. was the winner. It was a 1-2-3 finish for Joe Gibbs Racing. Truex gets his fourth win of the year. Denny Hamlin, it looked like he was potentially going to go back-to-back as Denny Hamlin led the most laps with 197, but Truex would lead 80 and ultimately get the win at the end of the night with Christopher Bell coming up in the third spot. Chase Elliott was fourth, Joey Logano fifth, Kyle Larson sixth, Ross Chastain, another solid run for him in seventh, Kevin Harvick eighth, Kyle Busch ninth, and Ryan Blaney rounding out the top 10. So as we go into racing tonight at Bristol, which is a cutoff race, there are going to be drivers eliminated, those below the cut line of the round of 12. Alex Bowman is tied with Kurt Busch for that last spot, but Busch wins the tiebreaker, I guess, and so Bowman finds himself on the outside looking in, then Tyler Reddick, William Byron, Michael McDowell. I mentioned Kurt Busch 12th, Eric Almirola 11th, Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, Christopher Bell, Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick, Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano, Kyle Larson, Martin Truex Jr., and Denny Hamlin rounding it all out. So going to be interesting. We'll talk about Bristol a little bit later on. But when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, Brad Keselowski coming up later in the show, I'm going to reveal what I believe should be the 2023 NASCAR Cup Series schedule. Some things, yeah, pretty obvious. Some might be pipe dreams, but hey, it's my schedule. We'll do that when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, presented by Hillside Medical on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And welcome back in Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app. We're with you every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Want to throw this out there. If you're looking for something fun to do this afternoon to watch some college football, I'm going to be hanging out at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. You can come by and say hello during the Alabama and Florida game. Going to be hanging out, watching the game just with all of you. They got some great food, beer specials, all those fun things. So you can register to win some prizes as well. I'm going to be giving those away. So come out. Chasers Tailgate. It is the debut of that 1855 Galleria Boulevard in Franklin at the Brew House South out there. So come say hi. Just wanted to throw that out there. All right. I told you about the 2022 schedule that NASCAR released for the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, Truck Series schedule. They're going to be out in a few weeks. But I decided to do this even before the schedule release. This is something I've always wanted to do, and I never took the time to do it until now. I sat down and I did my version of the Cup Series schedule. And I took what they have, and I took some things from that. I continued the trend of adding new venues, moving some stuff around. You'll notice some places I took some races away to give it somewhere else. And I had fun with it. Some things on here I think are doable by any means. I'm not going to do anything. Like I wasn't going to send them to Riverside, which doesn't exist anymore. But I think some of these things are doable. They're probably not likely, but you never know. I think there's certainly things that have been mentioned, for sure. So I want to go through it, and if you want to read more about it and see the schedule, go to chasingcheckersradio.com. It has been posted, so you can go check that out and give it a look and give your comments. It's going to be on all the social media channels, Twitter, at @Chasen_checkers on Twitter, at @Chasen_checkers on Twitter. We'll also tweet the link out from at 1025 The Game and at Chaseon Game. Chasing Checkers Radio on Facebook, you can check that out, or our Instagram page as well. So give it a look. All right, so NASCAR, and this is one, so when I originally did this, I was under the impression they were going back to Daytona for the Clash, and so I had the road course. I was like, all right, cool, go to the road course. I thought it was cool. But when they took a huge swing like they did and went to the LA Memorial Coliseum, I got to thinking, well, you know what? I can do that too. But I'm sending them back to Florida because I'm a traditionalist in the sense I do like Speed Weeks. And whenever they go down for Speed Weeks, a lot of the drivers go to a little short track that they cut their teeth on and like to go have some fun at New Smyrna Beach, not too far from Daytona. Why not have the Clash at New Smyrna? I understand they'd probably have to put soft walls and look at a few things. There would be a couple things that they might have to do, but I certainly believe it's doable and would be so much fun under the lights to have those cup cars at New Smyrna. Such a cool racetrack, and I know the drivers would enjoy it. So that's how I would kick off the season with the Clash. I would go to New Smyrna. Then and I would do that on February 14th, Valentine's Day. So I would do that then. You'll notice with my schedule, I'm trying my hardest to keep 36 races, but also shorten it up. And you'll see how I do that as we move forward. They would run the duels 2 days later on the 16th at Daytona, and then the Daytona 500 would be at February 19th. One thing you'll also notice is I was pretty uniformed, I should say, with start times. If it's an East Coast race, it's a 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 o'clock Central start time. If it's West Coast, 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central. If it's a night race, outside of a couple of exceptions, it would be a 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central start time. So that's what I was going for. All right. Daytona 500 on February 19th. Then NASCAR goes west. This is something I wasn't like a huge fan of at first. Now it's just kind of grown on me. They'll go out to California. They'll go out to Fontana to Auto Club. But this will be the short track. This will be the first race under the new configuration that they've been talking about. They're going to turn it into a short track, and because they want more short tracks. Again, I don't really know how that's going to work, but LA is a market that they want to be in, that area. You obviously see that with them going to the LA Coliseum for the Clash, so we'll give it a shot. That will be the second race of the year. Here's where I make my first pretty big change. Keeping with the NASCAR Goes West theme, even though you're going from Southern California to Northern California, I have them going to Sonoma. Let's just stay in the state of California, one end to the other, and go ahead and get the first road course of the year done in early March. I have them going to Sonoma when they leave Fontana. Then Vegas, then Phoenix, and then back for COTA, just like they're doing this year. So, or in 2022. So Vegas would be a week later because I put Sonoma in there. But then Phoenix, and then COTA would be the 26th, March 26, 2023, because you'll notice I don't have Atlanta in there. I have basically taken Atlanta out, put Sonoma in. April 8th, under the lights at Bristol on the dirt. I want to see a night race on the dirt at Bristol. Because I'm kind of starting, I'm a traditionalist in this sense too. I'm starting the short track season with a couple of three short tracks in a row, the ones that they've been going to. So the night race on the dirt at Bristol, then to Richmond for the only race at Richmond that year, a Sunday night race, but the only race at Richmond that year, and then Saturday night under the lights on the paperclip at Martinsville on April the 22nd, 2023. Again, if you're just tuning in, this is my Cup Series schedule for 2023. This is not an official schedule. This is just something that I have come up with, what I would like to see NASCAR do. So having a little fun with this, and hope you're liking it so far. All right, so you leave Martinsville, go to Kansas. That'll be the only visit to Kansas on my schedule to round out April. Then Talladega, then the first race at Darlington, then Dover at the end of May. Dover's kind of fluctuated some. Dover at the end of May before going to Charlotte for the Coke 600 Memorial Day weekend. No All-Star race there. Where could I put the All-Star race? We'll get to that. Then after Charlotte, go back to Worldwide Technology Raceway, also known as Gateway, on June the 4th. So no change there. That would be the same weekend. And then they come to Nashville, the Nashville Fairgrounds, June 10th, under the lights, the All-American 400, NASCAR returns to short track racing at the Nashville Fairgrounds. I believe in my heart of hearts that this is going to happen, that it'll be on the schedule for 2023. They just got to get it done. They got to get the work going on it. Everybody wants it. Within the sport. And for those of you that live in the area, I get it. It's loud. But what you need to understand is if you allow this to happen and you allow the people that, you know how to put up the sound barriers and fix the track up and make it look nice next to the soccer stadium and then control the schedule, it's actually going to be a lot better than you think. It's going to be a lot better than it is now. Now anybody can go over there anytime they want and run races. So I hope that this happens. I feel like it will happen. But I have the Nashville Fairgrounds in early June of 2023. Now, Super Speedway, I have a good plan for you. I have a very good plan for you. So stay tuned to that. Another change, Watkins Glen. I have moved that into June. You know, typically they're in Sonoma in June. I've moved that up into March. I have now moved Watkins Glen out of August into June because there's a drop off of, you know, you go to Sonoma and then Coda, and then there's not a road course for a while. And so I've put that in June with Watkins Glen. They go to Pocono on June the 25th, again, my birthday, for its only race, as it's going to be in July in 2022. I'm moving it to June. So we'll have that. Have that there as we get into the summer months. And after Pocono, this is where I get creative to try and shorten things up a little bit. I want to be at Daytona July 4th weekend. That's where I want to be. However, let's do this. With the new car, it's going to be easier. You don't have to, you know, worry about building a speedway car or a road course car or a short track car or anything like that. They're trying to make this cheaper and easier for the teams. They have proven that they don't need practice in qualifying. So you show up at Daytona, and on July 1st, under the lights, they'll run the road course. That'll be a race. That'll be a cup race. And then the next night, under the lights, they'll run the big track. There you go. Get two races knocked out at one track all at the same time. Same weekend, doubleheader, get the road course, which is exciting, and then the Firecracker 400 July 4th weekend, the weekend before July 4th, just like it should be. Then the first off week, 20 races in, the first off week of the year, the only off week of the year, that allows the drivers to leave Daytona for the 4th and then take that whole week off, go on vacation with their families. So they're off then. They return on the 16th of July to Road America for that race, then New Hampshire, then Michigan. Then I get creative once again as we start August. Another doubleheader weekend. Now, this one is a little more outside the box than Daytona because I have them going to Indianapolis No, I'm not going to run the Indianapolis road course. I don't like the Indy road course for these cars. So I take it off the schedule. Saturday night under the lights, these bad boys are going to Lucas Oil, IRP. They're going to run the short track at Lucas Oil, and then the next day, the Brickyard 400 at the big track. Again, same premise applies with the cars. May need to schedule a test at Lucas Oil beforehand. Then you bring two cars. That's all you need. And run one at Lucas Oil, one at the big track. You're good to go. I think it's doable. I think it would be a ton of fun, and a lot of people would enjoy it. Then they go to Texas under the lights to wrap up the regular season. That is how they would close it out. The regular season champion would be crowned in Texas on August the 13th. Now, I mentioned the All-Star race. It's time to get to that. And, again, if you're just tuning in, this is my schedule. This is not an official schedule. You can go to chasingcheckersradio.com to look at it. I think this is a perfect opportunity to bring a track, even if it's just a one-off, back. And if you've been paying attention, you'll know that back in May, North Carolina pledged a ton of money to help with the racetracks. Governor Roy Cooper promised to devote $30 million to North Carolina racetracks, which include North Wilkesboro, Charlotte, and Rockingham. So I am proposing, and I know a lot of you are going, Wilkesboro. I think that something could happen with that down the pike, but it needs a ton of work. You basically got to rebuild the whole thing to do it. I am proposing putting the All-Star race at Rockingham. If you can't fill that place up for that, then it's just never going to happen. But you put $10 million into it, which is what is being allotted, maybe a little bit more. Fix the old place up and get it ready to roll for the All-Star race. Have the All-Star race in between the end of the regular season and the start of the playoffs. I think it would be awesome. It would be a cool thing to have in late August before football starts, and it gets you back to the rock. Then you start the playoffs August 26th at Bristol under the lights, the traditional night race there. Darlington for Labor Day weekend the next week. Round out the round of 16 in Atlanta for Atlanta's only race. Atlanta gets into the playoffs. Now, I mentioned earlier, all my friends from the Nashville Super Speedway that are wondering, Chase, when is the Nashville Super Speedway going to be on the schedule? Don't worry. Two races in Nashville, one at the fairgrounds, and then a playoff race for the Ally 400 to open the round of 12 in September. So I have the Nashville Super Speedway in the playoffs. I think it would be a ton of fun to have that. You'd get a big crowd out there as the round of 12 gets underway. So that's where I'm putting the Ally 400, is in the playoffs. The following week, go to Homestead for that race, and then round out that round at the Roval on October 1st. The round of 8 opens at Talladega on the high banks there. Phoenix, which has hosted the championship the last 3 years, we'll move into the round of 8 with race number 34. Martinsville will close out the round of 8 and be the second to last race like it has been the last few years. I think that's a good cutoff race. And then the championship 4 and the NASCAR champion will be crowned at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Las Vegas lost the banquet to Nashville, which I'm happy about. But I think rotating the championship race would be smart. You have it in Vegas, which you can have kind of a mini celebration around it in a cool spot. I think you'd get a good crowd. The racing's fun there. So that's how I would wrap up my schedule. So there you go. Again, if you want to see the whole thing, just go to chasingcheckersradio.com. You can check it out. And I think you will enjoy it. So put a lot of work into it. Let me know what you think. Give me your comments. If you don't like it, let me know. Criticism, I'll take it. But there you go. That is my look at my version of the 2023 NASCAR Cup Series schedule. When we come back, we're going to talk to driver Brad Keselowski as they get ready to race at Bristol later on tonight. We'll do that next. Chasing Checkers, presented by Hillside Medical on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Welcome back in. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're on The Game Nashville app. It's all presented by Hillside Medical, and excited, as always, to talk to our next guest. He is the driver of the number two Penske Ford, Brad Keselowski, on the line with us as they get ready to race at Bristol Saturday night. Brad, how you doing?
Terrific. Not as good as I could be if we had a little more points in the bank before the race, but better than it could be as well with respect to, you know, not playing from behind, got a little points cushion coming into the race, and never enough for Bristol, though.
Yeah, Bristol is one of those places where you expect the unexpected as you go in under the lights. You guys typically, the tempers flare a little bit at the Bristol Motor Speedway, but it's always a great show. Like you said, I know not exactly where you wanted to be after Richmond, but do you feel confident going into a place that you have multiple wins at?
Yeah, reasonably. Yeah, I wish we had more speed than we've shown in it of late. I think I'm optimistic we'll show more. But also realistic that we haven't been very fast lately. So you got to have speed to control your destiny, and not been something we've been where we want to be there yet, at least not on the racetrack. Pit crew has been doing awesome. I'm really proud of them, but let's see what we can make count on the racetrack.
How nerve-wracking is this format with the playoffs, and there's, you know, there's different rounds, you get eliminated. I mean, it's just like, you know, your regular stick and ball sports where, I mean, if you don't perform and you lose, you don't have enough points going into a certain round, you're out. So how nerve-wracking is it from the driver's seat?
Well, it's definitely a pressure cooker. You know, you've got championship opportunity in front of you, and, you know, you don't want to let it slip out of your fingers. And every instance is trying to do just that. So each weekend you got to prove yourself.
Is there more pressure? Do you put more pressure on yourself, I guess is the way I put it, knowing that this is your last shot at it with Team Penske, a team that, you know, you've had a lot of success with, you've won a championship with, you have a lot of respect for Mr. Penske and a lot of friendships that have been created. So do you put extra on yourself to perform and try and go out with a championship?
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty natural, Chase, to try and think of it that way. And, try to be smart about it and not get too emotional either way, because that doesn't really do anything or isn't any really advantage to me. But obviously want to do the best I can and honor the things that have been given to me, and honor the team with some great results before our time together is over.
I've talked to a lot of people, including yourself, about Roger Penske, Joseph Newgarden, who's a Nashville guy, also with Team Penske. We've had a lot of chats about him, but what are some things that you've learned from him as you now go into this, even though you're going to continue to drive for Roush Fenway, but you're going to have an ownership stake in that team? What are some things that you've learned from the captain?
Oh, no doubt. He's one of the most professional people you ever meet in your life. Got his stuff together and very organized, pushes himself every day. He's a hard worker. He loves the grind. I think that's important. There's so many takeaways. I don't even know how to begin.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, you've had some good times there for sure. NASCAR announced the 2022 schedule, and it's going to start with an exhibition race at the L.A. Coliseum. They're going to build a track inside the stadium, a la Bowman Gray. NASCAR continues to try new things and really think outside the box, but I know you're focused on a championship right now, but when you got that news, what kind of went through your head?
I think it's interesting. It's a fresh new idea. Our sport craves that. Schedule variability has been very good for us. We've made a lot of changes to the sport over the last decade, and for a while the schedule was kind of the sacred cow, and now that we're willing to make some moves and pieces there and we're seeing results, I think it's very refreshing, and I applaud NASCAR and all the involved parties for, taking this chance to do so.
Do you look at, or will you look at things differently now that you have an ownership role, or is it still like with scheduling and things like that, or is it just the same that it always has been for you?
Uh, I think for now, this is the same as it's always been. I try to focus on the things I can control.
Nashville was a new track to the schedule this year, and a place that you had had success at in the Xfinity Series. It was a fantastic weekend, but it's now just another new market. You all are going to go to Worldwide Technology Speedway, better known as Gateway, in St. Louis. That's another new market that has been added to the schedule. How important is it to continue to add these places to get a better reach with NASCAR?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely working that. You know, I think we have some markets that we've been going to for a long time that potentially got into a spot where our races were just, you know, I don't want to say taken for granted, but kind of guaranteed and didn't really push really hard or fully leverage them. And when you go to new markets, I think you see what these races can be when the communities really get behind them.
Are you in favor, because I know I talked to Joey Logano, your teammate. I've talked to Kyle Busch about this. Are you one of those drivers that you'd like to see only go to a track one time? Or are there some that, you know, like a Darlington or a Daytona that are sacred, that they deserve two races? What's kind of your take on that?
Yeah, I think some tracks, you know, have some history and pedigree behind them, and others not so much. And, you know, I think you lock in kind of your majors, so to speak, and then everything else should be fair game.
Nashville has a unique opportunity with the Super Speedway having its date, but the Fairgrounds continues to be a conversation and moving towards potentially fixing that place up to have NASCAR racing in some capacity, whatever it may be. But do you think that would be a unique enough situation where it's the same market but two different tracks in the same year?
Oh, I guess I really haven't thought of that. You know, I think we certainly want to see something happen at the Fairgrounds. A lot of history behind it, and clearly, you know, a track that all of us think about from a short track perspective is probably putting on a really good show. But as far as how it competes with the Nashville Super Speedway, you know, I'm not really qualified to answer that, I don't think.
So, Brad, as again, getting back to Bristol coming up Saturday night, I mentioned the three wins there. Are you concerned at all what the surface is going to be like after it had dirt on it for so long with the spring race and the other events that that they did with the dirt?
Not particularly. You know, I think with the Truck Series and Xfinity Series having ran on the track before our race, that any residuals should hopefully be cleared off.
Well, Brad, it is always a pleasure to talk to you, and best of luck with the run for the championship and then everything moving forward with Roush Fenway as you move over there. But always fun to have you on.
Thank you. I appreciate your coverage of our sport.
And that is Brad Keselowski, the driver of the number two. And going to be weird to say driver of the number six, Roush Fenway Racing, for next year. But that's how it's going to be for him, as he will move over to that team, have an ownership role as well. But always appreciate him coming on the show. He's been on a few times, and really enjoy talking to him. He will roll off 10th later on tonight for the Bass Pro Shops night race at the Bristol Motor Speedway. And we, of course, will get you set up for racing tonight from Bristol here in just a little bit. But when we come back, I want to talk about the Xfinity Series race and the exciting finish that happened last night. Their playoffs are about to get underway. That was the cutoff race. And then, of course, as mentioned, we will get you ready for all things going on at the Bristol Motor Speedway a little bit later on tonight. We'll do that when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, presented by Hillside Medical on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game on the Game Nashville app as well. If you miss anything, again, go wherever you get your podcast, search for Chasing Checkers and subscribe. Give us a rating as well. And you can check everything out at thegamenashville.com, chasingcheckersradio.com as well. We're here every Saturday at 9. They will race at the Bristol Motor Speedway under the lights tonight. Appreciate Brad Keselowski for joining us. You know, I was curious of what his answer was going to be on, you know, if just dirt sitting on it, if that messed the surface up at all, if there was any concern. And he didn't seem concerned. So I guess everything's going to be fine there. And especially with what we saw, the truck race and then the Xfinity race last night. That was wild. If you missed that, you missed a fun time. AJ Allmendinger wins the race and the regular season championship, but it looked like it was going to be Austin Cindric potentially getting the win, but that was not the case at all, as he and Allmendinger went sideways, collided, crossing the start-finish line. Huge wreck at the end of the race, but you had Sam Meyer that was – he was in contention to win. He got into by his own teammate, Justin Allgaier, and so he spun. And then Allgaier was trying to dive in for the win. It was just a wild short track race. So really, really fun show last night at Bristol for the Xfinity race. But I expect tonight to be no different for the Cup Series race, as this will decide who advances to the round of 12 and the four drivers that do not. So I think you're going to see a lot of the same checkers or wreckers. I mean, that is going to be the way to go about it as they go in. I gave you the points earlier. I mean, there are drivers on the cusp that that have work to do. Bowman, Reddick, Byron, McDowell. But I wouldn't, you know, I would say that Almirola, he's not safe. Kurt Busch isn't safe. I mean, I don't even know if Kyle's safe. He's in the 10th spot. Kyle's had a rough time to start the playoffs. So, you know, he's obviously got his work cut out for him, but he's very good at Bristol. So you never know really how that's that may turn out. But that leads us into Sunday Money. The favorites right now are Kyle Larson and Kyle Busch at plus 450, according to BetMGM. And I would say that Busch especially is always a safe bet. Denny Hamlin, who's been very good as of late, is plus 600, followed by Chase Elliott. I would put some money on Elliott because I think that Elliott he won the All-Star race at Bristol last year. Elliott could certainly be one to win to advance into the next round. This is when he really starts turning things on and making a legitimate run at a championship. Another driver that I like with pretty good odds, plus 1,000, is Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick won this race last year. He has done well in his career at the Bristol Motor Speedway, so I would not count him out at all. I will give you Brad Keselowski at plus 1,400, who we had on, I think is a good bet. To give you a wild card in all of this, somebody with desperation right now, plus 2,200 for Alex Bowman. I mean, he knows he's got to win. So checkers or wreckers again will be in the name of the game. So plus 2,200 for him. So there you go. There's some Sunday money odds for you for tonight's race from Bristol. We'll break it all down for you next week. Appreciate Brad Keselowski for joining us. Again, ChasingCheckersRadio.com if you miss anything. And if you want to check out the schedule that I put together, I have the actual schedule up there and then the 2023 schedule that I came up with, not an official schedule. It is posted at ChasingCheckersRadio.com. So go give it a look. That is going to do it for today's show. We'll be back at it next Saturday at 9 right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.